welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Romance in this hour, later on an episode of Obsession from the 1950s, but first it's Stars Over Hollywood, a CBS broadcast from March 15, 1952, with the story The Truth Pays Off.
This is Jean Cagney with a welcome to Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Your host for Carnation, Art Ballinger.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood is brought to you by Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. And today we present The Truth Pays Off, starring Jean Cagney. Ladies, when you buy milk, remember that no other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Yes, it's Carnation bringing you Stars Over Hollywood. And speaking of stars, here's the girl who bids fair to rival her famous brother in acting ability, Jean Cagney.
Well, can't blame a girl for trying, Art.
Well, I must say you've worked very hard on your career, Jean. I see by the record that you studied at Pasadena Playhouse, made 4 pictures for Paramount in 1 year, and piled up some good stage experience, too. What have you done, Jean, other than films?
Oh, I've done a number of Broadway plays, including Eugene O'Neill's The Iceman Cometh. And while I was on Broadway, I also did some radio serial work. Played in Helen Trent and Young Widow Brown and Front Page Farrell, you know.
And after that, back to the coast and pictures.
That's right, Art. I've just finished the last of 3. The first was Time of Your Life and then Quicksand. And the third film hasn't been released as yet. It's called Don't Bother to Knock.
A good title. Well, Jean, we have a very fine story for you to tackle today, and it's backed up by a fine product, Carnation Evaporated Milk. Those who use Carnation know what a miracle milk it is. In cooking, Carnation actually does perform miracles not possible with any other form of milk. People who use Carnation for cream soups, packaged cake and pudding mixes, and casserole dishes are amazed at the improvement in flavor. That's because Carnation milk is heat-refined, which promotes in the cooking an ideal blending of ingredients. And of course, being more than double rich milk, Carnation is able to add even more to the rich quality and flavor of your foods. Yes, and even when you mix Carnation with an equal amount of water, it's still richer than any state standard for bottled milk, yet costs far less than bottled milk. So why not start cooking the Carnation way now? Enjoy the delicious results made possible by this heat-refined, more than double-rich milk. Carnation, the milk from contented cows. And now, Act One of The Truth Pays Off, starring Jean Cagney in the role of Verity Noonan. Curtain going up.
Honesty, Verity. You can carry some things too far.
Even truthfulness?
Especially truthfulness. You can take the word of an old woman that the unvarnished truth has ruined more romances than gambling or drink.
And you think that if I stick to the truth, I'll lose Steve.
I'm sure of it.
So all I have to do is to sacrifice the one thing I've based my entire life on, the truth.
You make it sound so dramatic, my dear. Really, it isn't as important as you're trying to make it.
Oh, but it is. Aunt Sophie, you know quite a bit about me, but I haven't told you the whole story.
Well, go ahead and tell me. Sometimes talking helps to lead us to the right conclusions.
Well, the story begins with my grandfather, Patrick Noonan. Naturally, I remember him as an old man, but he must have been a very young boy when he came to California in search of his fortune. He told me often how he'd come into his wealth. But I remember most clearly the conversation we had just before his death.
Come over here by my bed, Verity.
Can I get you something? Is there anything you want?
I want to talk. I know that I may not have many more opportunities.
Oh, now, Grandfather, you'll be all right.
Verity.
I'm sorry.
The doctor told you I couldn't live more than another week. Isn't that right?
Yes, Grandfather. That's what he said.
Well, don't make my last days sad by trying to tell fibs to me. You know why people lie, child.
Tell me again.
Because they're unsure of themselves. They lie because they're ashamed to admit their actions or their own ambitions. They lack a feeling of security, so they lie and cheat and steal in order to get a nest egg. Money and the emotional kind. You don't ever have to do that, Vera.
No, Grandfather.
Old Nugget Kendrick struck the richest vein of gold in all of California. But he found there wasn't one person in the whole world he could trust. Until he came across me. He made me his foreman. And when he died, he left me his fortune. The truth pays off, Verity.
Yes, Grandfather.
I want you to promise me you'll always tell the truth.
Why, I wouldn't know how to tell a lie.
Do you like it here, Verity?
No. I've read all about New York, and that's where I want to go.
I suppose you'll light out for there before I'm cold in my grave?
Yes, Grandfather.
That's the girl. Well, Verity, as you know, I've never trusted banks and the like. Hand me those two manila envelopes over there.
Oh, these here?
Yes.
On the nightstand?
Yes.
Here. Here you are.
This one here, the one that's got the red X on it. This one has enough money for current expenses. It'll bury me and leave you enough for a year or two in New York, even if you're mite extravagant.
And the other one?
This one's got the rest of what I've accumulated in my lifetime, Verity. A little over $1 million, I figure. This one you're to leave closed until you've decided what you want to do with your life.
What I want to do with my life?
Invest in a business or a profession or a husband. Get what you want out of life, Verity. With $1 million, you don't have to be forced into anything that isn't to your liking. You'll have a good life as long as you remember to live by the law of truth.
And miss?
No.
Do you mind if I sit down beside you?
Well, I was sort of hoping a good-looking young man might take that seat.
Oh, I admire your candor. All right, I'll find someplace else to sit.
Oh, you're very nice. You can sit down. I don't see any men worth bothering about here anyway.
Well, then suppose I sit here until we spot a likely candidate. If the seat's empty, it might just attract the wrong one.
Well, that's true. I'm Verity Noonan. What's your name?
Sophie Livingston. But I think maybe you'd better call me Aunt Sophie.
All right.
It'll afford some measure of protection for you. And if you're always as frank as you've been with me, heaven knows you're going to need protection.
Oh, I don't think so. I'm on my way to New York, and once I'm there, I'll have the whole staff of a hotel to take care of me.
The staff of a hotel?
Yes, I wrote to the Manhattan Biltmore and told them to reserve their best suite for me, and I had a very nice letter from the manager. Oh. Why, he told me the whole staff would be at my disposal. And that they do everything in their power to make my visit pleasant.
Well, I think I'd better write down my name and my address in New York. There may be a few things that come up that I can help you with even better than the management of your hotel.
I was very careful with your address, Aunt Sophie. I tucked it away in my billfold, the one I kept right with my two manila envelopes. I was sure I'd want to look you up later because I liked you. But I was also sure it wouldn't be because I needed protection. Why? What could happen to me in New York? Even before the train rolled into the station, everything was exciting and wonderful. And when I got off the train, well, that was just like something out of a movie magazine. I was following the red cab when the best-looking man stepped right in front of me.
Well, hello there.
Hello.
Welcome to New York.
Well, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are times when it's a real pleasure to conduct the meeting all-train show, and this is one of them. This young lady is one of the prettiest girls who has ever faced our microphone.
Well, is that what that thing is? A microphone? Like they use in regular radio broadcasts.
Oh, well, lady, rumor has it this is a regular radio broadcast. Haven't you ever heard of the program Meeting All Trains?
No, I haven't.
Well, you've probably heard me on some other shows. I'm Ted Trent. That name's familiar, isn't it?
No.
Well, anyway, we're even. I don't know your name either.
Oh, I'm Verity Noonan.
Verity Noonan. I'll call you Verity if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Good. Now then, where are you from, Verity?
Noonan City, California.
Verity Noonan from Noonan City. Well, well. Your first visit to the big city, Verity?
Yes, it is.
Here for your annual vacation?
Oh, no. No, I'm going to live here.
Ah, if you can find a job, I guess. That's why most young girls come to New York.
Oh, I'm not so young. I'm 24. And I'm not looking for a job. I have enough money.
Oh, I'm afraid in New York your money won't go as far as you expected.
Well, I guess things will be more expensive here than they are in Noonan City.
You can bet your life on that. How big is your nest egg, Verity? $100, huh? $200?
No, I have over $1 million.
Over $1 million?
You wouldn't be exaggerating just a little, would you?
I always tell the exact truth. My grandfather left it to me.
Yes, certainly, of course. And I guess you've come here to buy lots of pretty clothes and to see all the shows.
I've come here to find a husband.
Well, after this broadcast, I have an idea you may have more than one suitor. I might even get on that line myself. Where will you be stopping, Verity?
At the Manhattan Biltmore. I don't know my room number yet.
Well, Verity, it's been very pleasant having you on our program. You're the most refreshing thing that's ever happened to us. I have an idea that before this day is very much older, a few things will start happening to you.
It was wonderful at first. The manager of the hotel came out to the curb to help me out of my cab, and when I got to my room, everyone seemed so anxious to see that I enjoyed New York. Oh, I wasn't stupid about it. I knew that someone without money wasn't treated that way, but I didn't mind tipping, and I'd always expected to pay for the hotel suite and the clothes and the entertainment I'd come to New York to find. There were certain things, however, that I hadn't come prepared for.
I'm terribly sorry, Miss Noonan. Nothing like this has ever happened before. But we just can't control the crowd. The men, mostly. They all insist on seeing you.
Why?
I could call the police, I suppose, but the reputation of the hotel... I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. I'm glad. I want to meet men.
But these men, they heard the broadcast...
Well, now, wasn't that lucky? Send them in.
You mean unleash that mob?
Well, maybe it would be better to see them one at a time. I could get to know them better that way.
Oh, I give up. Freddie, let them come in one at a time.
Well, how do you do, my dear? Welcome to our city.
Why, thank you. My goodness, everyone's so nice. What's your name?
Well, I'm Mortimer Conway of Conway & Associates, members of the New York Stock Exchange.
Oh, I'd like to see the exchange. Could you take me?
Why, it'd be a pleasure to take you, my dear. I'm an old friend of your grandfather's.
You are? Mm-hmm. Did you know him in California?
Oh, that I did. We often did business together. He used to have me handle his stock transactions. And that's why I thought I'd come to see you first thing and see if I couldn't help you as a business advisor. Out of friendship for the family, of course.
Why, how nice. I suppose you heard me on the radio. That's how you knew I was here.
Were you on the radio? Well, how pleasant. No, my dear. No, your family let me know you were coming.
Oh, did Uncle George write to you?
Yes, your Uncle George. George dropped me a line.
Oh, I'm just ashamed of you, trying to take advantage of a poor, innocent girl.
Now, really, my dear girl...
Oh, you say your name is Mortimer Conway, but there's an L on your pocket handkerchief. I don't believe you're a member of the stock exchange, because your shirt collar's frayed. Grandfather didn't believe in stocks, and I haven't got an Uncle George. Next, Freddie. Would you believe it, Aunt Sophie? Out of over 100 men who were waiting in my suite, there wasn't one of them who told the truth. Everyone who came to see me turned out to be a fibber. That's when I got disgusted and called you. I knew you were honest, and I also suspected you were a pretty good cook. I was so glad that you invited me to dinner.
Just a small piece, Verity?
Oh, no, thank you. I couldn't eat another bite.
How about you, Steve?
Well, yes, I'll have another piece of pie, but not a small piece.
My nephew is the champion pie eater in New York City. Isn't that something to be proud of, Verity?
Oh, he must have some other claim to fame.
Well, I'll whisper you a secret. I don't earn my living that way.
He's a writer.
Oh.
And I don't earn much of a living that way either, but I will someday.
The public isn't educated up to his writing yet.
No, that isn't so. I'm not educated up to the public yet. But it'll come if I keep working at it.
Why, you mean that, don't you?
Well, of course I do. Let's not spend the evening discussing Steve Livingston and his career. I'm sure we can find something much better to talk about.
Do you know that I forgot all about a meeting I have for this evening? Do you think you two people could entertain each other?
Well, if Steve wouldn't mind, I'd love to spend the evening with him.
Well, I really should work, but I... Well, what did you want to do this evening, Verity?
Well, I have every evening all planned. I even wrote it down. Let's see now. This is Wednesday. Well, I haven't seen the Stork Club yet, and I figured on that for tonight. After the theater, of course. And then I thought I'd like to see one of those late spots up in Harlem. pardon me.
I'm sorry, Verity, but I couldn't afford that itinerary.
Oh, I wouldn't expect you to pay for it.
Maybe not, but I would expect to, if I could afford it, which I probably won't be able to do for about 10 years.
Oh, I'm sorry. I suppose that was thoughtless of me. But I could postpone those things until next Wednesday. I see I have the rest of this week all planned.
Where would you like to take her, Steve?
Well, there's a very nice free art exhibit at the Anderson Galleries. There's dancing on the mall, and if we walk both ways, I'll still be able to manage a pair of Cokes.
Well, that sounds wonderful, Steve. And it was wonderful. That evening and all the others. Because Steve took me everywhere that didn't cost money, and on the evening Steve had to work, I managed to see the parts of New York that could only be seen for cash. There were always people who were glad to take me as long as I paid the way, and I didn't mind. I wasn't going to be taken in by the phony nobleman or the impoverished Harvard men who wanted a steak for a string of polo ponies. But, of course, as you know, I did make mistakes. Remember when I got you out of bed in the middle of the night?
What in the world brings you here at this hour, child?
Someone tried to force his way into my room. I had to call the house detective.
Why, you poor child.
Oh, I was very sorry to see Cedric arrested.
You knew the person who was trying to break in?
Oh, yes, we were dancing at El Morocco earlier in the evening. Oh. You know, I wish he hadn't asked me.
To go dancing?
Oh, no. No, I asked him. I mean, I'm sorry he asked me where my $1 million was. I had to admit I kept it in my suitcase in an old manila envelope.
You don't.
I did, but not now. I took a taxi here, and I brought the money with me. I want you to keep it for me.
Keep $1 million in the house? Not me.
What?
Now, you don't have to look at me that way, Verity. I'll keep it in my war safe tonight, but in the morning it goes into the bank.
Oh, no. No, banks aren't to be trusted. Grandfather said so.
Verity, look at me. Now, your grandfather must have been a very fine man, and I'm sure he meant everything he told you for the best. But he couldn't have meant you to take everything he said quite so literally.
Oh, you're getting me all mixed up, and I'm mixed up enough without any help. Oh, promise me you'll keep my envelope here.
Well, I'll keep it for a couple of days until you get a chance to get unmixed. But only on condition that you don't tell anyone it's here.
What?
Oh, no, you don't have to lie. If anyone asks you, just don't answer. If you keep that cute little mouth closed, you won't get into so much trouble.
And I did keep my mouth shut, but I still managed to get into trouble. It was because I finally decided that what I wanted most was Steve. He was the only truthful one I'd met in New York. And there were other things about him beside that, too. You're very handsome, Steve.
Am I supposed to deny it?
Oh, no, no. That'd be dishonest unless you really thought you weren't. And, of course, you couldn't. I bet we'll have beautiful children. With you being so handsome and me being so pretty.
Is this a proposal?
Yes, Steve. I want you to marry me.
You aren't in love with me, Verity.
No. No, not yet. But you're the nicest person I've ever met. And I'm sure I'll fall more and more in love with you the longer I know you. And that's the truth.
I'm sure you think it is.
Well, it is. Don't you think you could fall in love with me?
Oh, I'm sure I could, Verity, but... But I told you before, it'll be years before I establish myself as a writer. I can't afford a wife, even one as pretty as you.
Oh, but I have enough money for both of us.
I know that, but I'm not willing to live on your money.
Why not?
Because if I didn't have to work for it, I'd never become a good writer.
Oh, but I'd help you. I'd even learn how to type.
Verity, if you were in the same boat I am, I'd probably hold my thumbs for luck and ask you to struggle along with me. But I'm afraid I wouldn't struggle very hard with $1 million in the bank. No, Verity, it won't work out.
You're turning me down?
I wouldn't put it that way.
But you'd marry me if I were poor. If I didn't have a cent, I could have you.
Verity, come back here. Verity!
So I went back to the hotel and gathered all my things together and sent for a bellboy and my bill. I paid everything I owed. And then I went out and spent all the money I had left in the first envelope.
But how could you have spent all that money in a few hours?
Well, I bought lots of clothes. I won't need anything new for years now. And I bought some suits and things for Steve, too, so he won't be needing anything for a while. And then I bought lots of canned goods and everything else I figured Steve and I could possibly need during the next few years. I even bought a crib and a complete layette just in case. So, now I'm broke.
Except for a mere $1 million.
Oh, that's why I'm here. I want you to give me the other envelope. I'm going to give that money to Charity. Then I'll be in the same boat as Steve, and then he'll marry me.
Verity, charity's a wonderful thing. If you want to give some of your money to a good cause, I'm all for it. But let me put some of it in the bank for you. Both of us hope that Steve will be successful in his work, but if he isn't, you may need that security. You owe it to that child you've spoken about.
Oh, yes, you're right. Grandfather used to talk about security, too. A nest egg, he used to call it. Oh, but I couldn't put anything away and not tell Steve about it. Why, that'd be lying.
It'd be a white lie, Verity. Believe me.
There aren't any white lies. Only black ones.
Well, it's up to you. But unless you tell Steve you've given all the money away, you lose him.
What?
You have to make that choice.
I don't want to lose him, Aunt Sophie. Hand me that phone.
Now we'll open the envelope and count the money and then decide how much goes to charity and how much goes into that nest egg.
Well, we'll have to hurry. Steve's on his way over. You know, he was a little angry when I told him I'd bought the wedding ring, too, but he forgave me.
Well, that was good of him. Shall I open it?
Please, I'm shaking a little. And not on account of the money, either.
Why, Verity, there's no money in here at all.
Just a bunch of paper cut so that it'd feel like money.
Do you suppose someone could have...
Look, there's a letter, too, in Grandfather's handwriting.
What does it say?
Dear Verity, until now I've never told a lie in my life. But I think sometimes
a white lie may be for the best. To the people in Noonan City, I'm a millionaire. But all I ever had, I've spent raising you. I know as I write this that I'll only have a few thousand to leave. I'm putting it in another manila envelope, which I'll give to you later in the day. And this one will contain your emotional nest egg. Thinking it contains $1 million, you'll have the peace of mind and the freedom from financial worries that'll enable you to see things clearly. With no worries about money, you'll be able to plan a good life. You'll select the work you want to do or the man you really love. No choice you make will be colored by a monetary consideration. I hope you'll forgive my deception. My love forever, your grandfather, Patrick Noonan.
Oh, I'm so glad, Aunt Sophie. I told Steve I didn't have a cent, and now I haven't told a lie.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of this week's Stars Over Hollywood show as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Gene Cagney. Right now, for you, Gene, in appreciation of your fine performance, this bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation Evaporated Milk.
Oh, what beautiful flowers, Art. Thank you so much. Now, what about the show for next week?
Our star on next Saturday's Stars Over Hollywood show will be Lee Bowman, and the story is called The Love Tree.
Well, I certainly want to hear that, Art. But for now, it's goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Gene Cagney. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood was written by Bud Lesser. Supporting Miss Cagney were Peter Leeds, Marjorie Bennett, Fred Howard, and Larry Dobkin. Special music composed by Rex Corey. The program was directed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure to have Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, on your shopping list. No other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to listen next Saturday for Lee Bowman in The Love Tree. And be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Stay tuned now for Grand Central Station, which follows immediately over most of these stations. you can aid the good work of the National Society for Crippled Children. Buy Easter Seals. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Stars Over Hollywood, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from the 15th of March, 1952, starring sister of famous movie actor Jimmy Cagney, Jean Cagney. And that year, she was on the silver screen in Don't Bother to Knock, but was also on radio show-turned-TV programs like The Adventures of Wild Bill Hickok, The Family Theater, and Life with Luigi. You're listening to an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for what the Armed Forces Radio Service called Obsession when they aired it, but when it was heard on CBS, it was the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars with the story The North Wind, featuring movie actress Jane Wyatt. This first broadcast on CBS on December 4th, 1950.
Thank you very much, and greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. This is C.P. McGregor speaking. Welcome to the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars, radio's greatest daytime dramatic program. Every day, a complete 30-minute drama from Hollywood. Every day, a famous Hollywood star. Today, our star is Jane Wyatt in North Wind. Act one in just a moment, but first, a word from your announcer, Wendell Niles.
It's at your grocer's now. The great new 1949 Durum wheat harvest is in, and it's the finest ever produced. That means La Rosa brings you the most delicious macaroni, spaghetti, and egg noodles you ever tasted. Compare La Rosa with any other macaroni, spaghetti, or egg noodles you ever tasted. Once you try La Rosa, you'll never serve anything but La Rosa. Now, once again, our producer.
And now the curtain rises on Act One of North Wind, starring Jane Wyatt. Along the northern reaches of New England's windswept coast, time and tide have carved the stone of tall, menacing crags, a non-pretentious little fishing village known as Cape Sharp. Here, men live by the grace of the elements and the yield of the sea. This is the land of the North Wind.
I'm Elsa. I came to Cape Sharp because I was alone. I came in search of my aunt, whom I had been told had taken residence at the resort there. The journey had been hard and long. I stood at the cliff's edge and gazed down upon the cape for the first time. It was early evening, and the lights were just starting to blink lazily in the village below. So calm, so peaceful there. Contrast to the rest of the coast, where the sea lashed against the cliffs violently, frightening me. I started down the path. This was to be my home, here with the wind and the ocean cry.
Hey, Marcus!
Hey, Pedro! Good catch today.
Si, very good. And you?
Oh, can't complain.
Fine, that's very fine. We can be thankful for our good luck today. Soon now we may not be able to go out.
And why?
The north wind, she's coming again. You had better lash up real good from now on, Marcus.
I will. Thanks, Pedro.
Si.
Mister, fisherman.
Yay.
Could you tell me where the resort is?
No resort.
No well, of course there is. My aunt...
It blew away last year.
Blew away.
Yeah, the big wind. That's all that's left. There, ahead, see?
But where did the people go? The ones who live there?
Who knows?
Everyone's gone?
Mm-hmm. Everyone.
Thank you.
Hey, what's wrong with you?
I feel so...
Don't fall. Here. Don't try to sit up. Stay where you are. How do you feel now?
What happened?
You fainted. Here, drink this. It'll do you good.
What is it?
Soup. Go ahead, drink it.
Oh, no, thank you, I...
Go ahead.
All right. How did I get here? Did you...
I carried you. This is my house. You feeling any better?
Yes, much. You've been very kind. I think I can manage all right now, though.
You're going?
Yes.
Where?
Why...
But you haven't got any money. Where are you going to go without money?
How did you...
I went through your purse.
You...
Oh, I wasn't going to rob you. I just wanted to find out who you were.
Oh.
You're Elsa, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm Marcus. I'm the best fisherman on the Cape.
You are?
Yeah. I can afford a lot of things the others can't. I eat well. I live well. My house is paid for.
That's fine.
I own a shed behind this house. I sleep there in the summertime. I could sleep there again.
I don't understand.
Well, you're welcome to stay in my house if you like. You're sick. I think you're hungry, too. My house is yours and my food.
I appreciate your kindness. Believe me, I do. It wouldn't be possible, though.
And why not? Where else would you go?
I don't know.
Well, then stay.
I can't take your house.
I offer it to you. Rest first and, well, then go where you like.
You're very generous.
No, I just...
Hey, Marcus!
They're calling you.
Yes, that's my very good friend Pedro and his friend, Manuel. They want me to go into town with them tonight.
Marcus!
Yes, I hear you. I'll not go with them, though.
You won't?
No, but I'd invite them in if you'd care for company.
Why, if I'd care, Marcus?
Well, they come to drink wine. Sometimes they get drunk.
I won't mind.
Well, I'll get the wine from the kitchen, then.
No, that's all right, Marcus. I'll get the wine for your friends.
You should have seen him, Marcus. When he pulled up his net, instead of mackerel, he's got a whole school of baby sharks.
Where did it happen?
About 5 miles out. You know, Marcus, I was last in tonight. I don't like the look of it out there.
Pedro is right. It's too quiet. Just like last year before the blow. What do you call them? A lullaby before the storm.
A lull, Manuel.
Oh.
Will you have some more wine? Any of you?
No, thank you.
Marcus?
No, I don't think so, Elsa.
I think I have one more glass. Chiquita.
Manuel!
Huh?
The lady's name is Elsa.
Oh, si, Marcus. No harm.
Quiet, Manuel. Marcus, we were talking about the wind.
Yeah. Do you really think the north wind will come again this year, Pedro?
I think so.
Well, you better be ready for it this time, then.
What do you care about a little wind for, Marcus? You got your house here on the hill. You got some wine. A nice little chiquita.
Manuel, wait a minute.
Come on, Manuel, we go.
Just...
You've had too much. Come on. I take care, Manuel. See you tomorrow, Marcus.
Good night, Pedro.
Oh, Marcus.
Yeah?
I don't think you should have done that.
You're wrong. You don't know Manuel. I should have told him he was unwelcome here long ago.
I'm the one who doesn't belong here, Marcus. Already I've come between you and your friends.
That's not so. Manuel is no friend of mine. He's not like the rest of us. He's got a bad streak in him. We'll come to trouble someday, he and I. I feel it.
But, Marcus, I...
No. Think no more about it. I'll go out to the shed now, Elsa. I take my boat out at 5 a.m. I won't see you until tomorrow night. Good night, Elsa.
Good night, Marcus.
Elsa, what are you doing up at this time of the morning?
I fixed some breakfast for you at the house. I didn't see you go.
No, I started early and ate at the stand.
Oh, well, here's a little something to take with you, in case you get hungry.
Well, thanks, Elsa, but you shouldn't have bothered.
Well, that's all right, Marcus.
Just put it down there in the boat.
I? Put it in the boat?
Yes, in the cabin there.
The cabin?
Oh, come on, Elsa. What's wrong?
No, Marcus. You take the sandwiches.
Elsa, you're afraid of the boat and the sea, aren't you?
Yes.
It won't sink.
I know,
Well, then why don't you...
No, Marcus. No.
Oh, it's all right, Elsa. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. I was afraid once, too. Do you hear that wind out there?
Yes.
That's the north wind. That's what I used to be afraid of, till I found out what it was.
Found out?
Sure. That wind isn't blowing just out there, Elsa. It's blowing a lot of places. Sometimes it's down inside you, and it blows hard and cold, and you've got to fight it. Then's when it's worse, because you can't see it, but you've got to make it stop. And if you do, you won't be afraid anymore. You won't ever be afraid. I'm going out now.
Take care of yourself, Marcus.
I will, Elsa.
I'm coming. Just a moment. Yes, what?
Hello, Chiquita.
Manuel.
I forgot something last night. Can I come in?
Well, all right. Come in. Why didn't you go out today, Manuel?
Oh, the wind should blow too much. Anyway, I think it's a good time for me to come over and see you.
You've been drinking.
Oh, just a little bit.
What did you forget, Manuel?
I want to ask you a question.
What is it?
Oh, come on, why you speak so quick like that? You mad with Manuel?
Manuel, you better leave here. Marcus will be home very soon.
Oh, Marcus, a fool with Marcus. Hey, I know you came to be here with Marcus. He picked you up on the pier last night, see?
Get out, Manuel.
Everybody tell poor Manuel to go. Nobody like poor Manuel. Maybe Chiquita like poor Manuel, eh?
Let me go.
Give poor Manuel a kiss, Chiquita.
Stay back.
Just a little kiss for Manuel.
Get out of here.
Oh, so you slap Manuel. I teach you. Maybe you don't act so smart now.
Manuel, look. Huh? It's Marcus coming up the path. Go on now. Leave.
Marcus, that's a joke.
I'm telling you the truth. Look, there, through the window.
It is Marcus.
Go. Go quickly, or Marcus will kill you.
I go out the back door. Shoo, shoo.
Elsa.
I'm coming. Coming, Marcus.
Who was that was just here?
Why, it was...
Elsa, your face is scratched.
Yes, I...
That looked like Manuel outside. Was he here?
Marcus.
Was Manuel here?
Yes, but
he scratched your face.
Oh, it's all right, Marcus.
Manuel!
Marcus! Marcus, where are you going? Marcus, come back! Please come back!
The curtain falls on Act One of Northwind, starring Jane Wyatt. Our beautiful star and our distinguished cast of La Rosa radio players return shortly for Act Two of Northwind.
CPR Play's title reminds me of that famous poem, "The North Wind Doth Blow, and We Shall Have La Rosa Spaghetti."
That's an improvement on the original line, Wendell. When the north wind blows, there's nothing like a hearty La Rosa dish. Got a special, satisfying recipe to suggest to Jane Wyatt and the ladies listening?
I sure have. It's spaghetti with leftover meat sauce a la Rosa. What a treat, and so economical. All you need, ladies, is La Rosa thin spaghetti, some chopped leftover meat, and a few other ingredients. You'll win a tornado of cheers from your family. For the detailed recipe and 100 other wonderful La Rosa treats, consult your La Rosa cookbook. Or if you've not gotten yours yet, send for your big 64-page recipe book today. It's free. Write La Rosa, that's L-A, capital R-O-S-A, care of this station. Now prove La Rosa's superiority yourself. See, taste, compare. See La Rosa's natural golden color, the pure sunshine tone of the world's finest semolina. Taste that luscious La Rosa flavor, richer, smoother, more delicious, made in the unhurried old-world way for that just right, firm yet tender texture. Compare La Rosa with any other macaroni, spaghetti, or egg noodles you ever tasted. Once you try La Rosa, you'll never serve anything but La Rosa. That's the reason it's America's largest selling brand. Now, here's C.P. McGregor.
And now, Act Two of The North Wind, starring Jane Wyatt with Dennis Green. Out into the night had gone Marcus in search of Manuel. Down from the hill into the village he went, walking swiftly, watching carefully. Oblivious to the driving rain that beat against his face, the roar of the surf from the beach, and the fury of the north wind. Oblivious to everything except finding Manuel. And Elsa waited at the house, keeping a vigil at the window.
The storm grew, and I wondered when it would stop, if it would ever stop. I looked down to the lights in the village. One would flicker and go out, now another. It was growing dark. I remembered the day I'd stood on the cliff and gazed down at the village for the first time. How friendly, how beautiful it had seemed then. How changed it was now. Suddenly I felt a chill, something blowing cold and hard. The wind. Marcus. Marcus, I'm alone. I'll be afraid if I'm alone. Come back, Marcus. Wherever you are, come back.
Manuel.
Marcus.
I'm going to kill you, Manuel.
No, Marcus. No, no, stop. Marcus, stop. Stop.
Marcus.
Elsa.
You're back.
Yes.
The blood. You're hurt.
No, no, no. I'm all right.
You killed Manuel.
No.
Then...
He was drunk. We fought. That's all.
Oh. Oh, Marcus. I was afraid that...
No, he deserved it. I couldn't do it, though.
I'm glad, Marcus.
Yes.
I'll get some warm water. Those cuts should be bathed.
Elsa.
Yes?
Sit down. I didn't kill him because of you.
Because of me, Marcus?
If I had, you'd have hated me, wouldn't you?
I could never hate you, Marcus.
You see, we fishermen are simple people, Elsa. We think but two ways, right or wrong. If you're right, the Cape's a good place, and people are glad to share your wine, and you're glad to give it to them.
And if you're wrong?
Manuel was wrong.
Marcus, your hand, it ought to be bandaged.
Elsa, I want you to understand.
I think I do. I'll get the water. How long will the storm last?
Oh, there's no way to tell.
Seems as though it's getting worse. It can't get much worse, can it?
Never has before.
Marcus, doesn't anything ever frighten you?
I don't think so.
What if the storm would grow until the sea came up and washed away the village, even your house? Wouldn't you be frightened then?
The sea gave me this house. It's been good to me. Why should I be frightened of it?
But what if you were to drown?
Well, then I'd be dead, and what can you be afraid of when you're dead?
Oh, Marcus, you're funny.
Why do you say that?
Marcus!
Oh,
Marcus!
There's someone at the door. I'll answer it.
Marcus! Marcus!
Pedro!
Where's Marcus?
Oh, hello, Pedro.
Marcus. Marcus, I come as fast as I could. They're looking for you in the village. You got to leave here right away.
Now, take a breath, Pedro. Who's looking for me?
The police.
Huh? The police?
What do they want me for, Pedro?
You know.
I don't know. What is it?
Manuel.
What about Manuel?
He's dead.
He's dead? But Marcus...
Marcus had a big fight with him. He killed him.
I didn't kill him.
Elsa, I didn't kill him.
But they find him in the street outside the saloon. Maybe you don't know you hurt him so bad.
But I didn't fight with him near the saloon.
Look, amigo, I believe what you say, but the police, they will not believe you. They hear too much in the village. They come here to take you to jail. You go now, Marcus, before they come.
Yes, Marcus, go. Don't let them catch you.
Elsa, you'd have me run away?
Oh, Marcus, they mustn't catch you. They mustn't. It was all because of me.
You're afraid for me?
Yes.
You shouldn't be afraid, Elsa. I've told you before not to be afraid.
Marcus, if they find you, they'll take you to prison.
No, Elsa, I'm not a criminal.
I know. I know, but...
I won't run. I'd never run. I'll tell them the truth when they come. They'll believe me. I've never lied to anyone.
Oh, Marcus. Marcus. Marcus, the police are here.
Open the door, Pedro.
Amigo.
Open the door.
Marcus, the fisherman?
Yes, I'm Marcus. Come in.
You know Manuel?
Yes.
You fought with him tonight?
Yes, but I didn't kill him.
You're under arrest.
Oh, no, 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 he didn't do it.
Come along.
No, you can't take him. You can't.
Come along.
I'll be back, Elsa. Wait for me. I'll be back.
What time is it, Pedro?
It's almost midnight.
Pedro, he won't come back.
Sure, miss. He will.
You know it, too.
All right. I guess I do.
We've got to help him, Pedro.
Si. I want to help my very good friend Marcus, but what can we do?
I'll go to the police. I'll explain it to them.
Explain what?
That he didn't do it. That he couldn't lie to anyone.
They won't believe you.
We can try.
You love Marcus, don't you?
What difference does it make? It...
You do.
Yes.
Marcus is good, man. He loves you, too. Pedro can tell.
Then, Pedro, take me to him.
But we cannot drive the road into the city. She's washed out.
Well, how did the police get here?
They come in a big boat. They go back down the coast in it.
A boat?
I got small boat. Be much danger, though. She's acting up something bad out there.
We'll go in your boat, Pedro.
You might get scared.
No. We'll go, Pedro.
Yes?
You have a man here by the name of Marcus?
Is he a fisherman?
Yes.
He's here.
May I see him?
He's held for murder, no.
But he didn't do it. I want you to know that. He didn't.
Do you have evidence?
No, but...
No, you can't see him.
Oh, please.
Dead out.
What did they say?
They won't let me see him.
Pedro, sorry.
Oh, Pedro.
Don't cry. Come, we'll go back.
No. I'll wait here.
But you can't do nothing.
I want to wait.
All right. Pedro, wait too.
Elsa.
Marcus.
Amigo.
They let me go, Elsa.
Oh, Marcus.
He was drinking after I left him. A car ran over him in the storm. The driver just reported it.
It's all over?
Yes. We can go home now, Elsa.
Amigo, the storm, she's letting up.
Yes, it looks like the end of it.
Pedro has his boat waiting.
You came in that?
Yes.
You weren't afraid?
No. No, I wasn't afraid. Storm is over now. The north wind has come and gone. Out across the water, the dawn is breaking. And this will be a beautiful day. The fishermen are going out. Marcus is with them. Marcus says the north wind may come again next year. If it does, we'll be ready for it. And I won't be afraid.
I know what it is now. I'll never be afraid again.
And so the curtain falls on Act Two of North Wind, starring Jane Wyatt. Our star will be back to our La Rosa microphone in just a moment. Here now is Wendell Niles.
See, taste, compare. Prove to yourself the superiority of La Rosa macaroni, spaghetti, egg noodles. Tonight, make the three-way La Rosa quality test. See La Rosa's natural golden color, the pure sunshine color of the world's finest semolina, the cream of this year's great Durum wheat harvest. Taste that luscious La Rosa flavor, richer, smoother, more delicious. Get La Rosa, America's largest selling brand. For real economy, remember, it's a full pound. Now, once again at the microphone, our producer.
Jane, our play has been long, but we just have time to tell you you are wonderful.
Thank you, C.P. I really enjoyed doing the show.
And so it looks as though we'll have to wait for your return here for our usual backstage chat, Jane. We want you back real soon.
Thanks to you for the invitation, C.P.
Now, Jane and ladies and gentlemen, be sure to dial our way tomorrow when Howard Duff stars in a comedy, Love That Law. Until tomorrow, then, thanks for listening, and cheerio from Hollywood.
The La Rosa Hollywood Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from December 4th, 1950 on CBS. And so closes this hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.